And Mr. Schwani, you have been brought to us by MedVet Chicago. Yeah, I think so. No, no.
No, I'm wrong?
No, Frank Lewis's cousin.
Frank Lewis's cousin. Who's Frank Lewis?
And the what? I said and what to Sean because I couldn't believe what he said. The same ones we all know? That. Listen carefully. Now, they are familiar to you. A group called The Beatles.
Never heard of them.
That was The Beatles. Way early.
Very early.
62 or 3, Sean says. Yes. Wow.
All right. Good call there, Sean. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. So, did you know that Friday was National Dog Day?
I did. I saw a number of postings on social media. For dogs, and my good friend in Fairhope, Alabama, posted a picture of his dog. He's got a neat little dog named Jojo.
All right. Well, the question that you might be having is, well, how did this come to be? So I'll tell you the short version of the story. It's a fairy tale, but it's true. It's absolutely true. A very long time ago, in a land far away, there were Cro-Magnon men, our relatives. We evolved from Cro-Magnon cavemen as well as Neanderthals. But they weren't really cavemen. They had communities all over. And the biggest difference between Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon, or one of the differences, because there were several, but one of the differences is that Cro-Magnon men, for whatever reason, both communities were kind of sloppy. And they had these garbage dumps outside the community. And these relatives of the wolf, a species not that doesn't exist anymore, but a relative of the wolf, would hang out outside. And Cro-Magnon men began to say, hey, this is pretty good. They'd warn us when big saber-tooth things would come. And also, we could breed them, which they did. So they took friendlier individuals and began to breed them and actually sleep with them, three-dog night kind of thing, which was handy when the Ice Age came, but moreover began to hunt with them. And the Ice Age then killed off the Neanderthals. Cro-Magnon became you and me, and those wolf-like ancestors became today's dogs.
And there is the end of the story. The rest of the story.
He is thoroughly unimpressed with that, but it's true. It is true.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, good morning to you, Steve Dale, on a Sunday morning in Chicago. I'm in the studio with Dr. Grace Bransford. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You could text us at that same number, 312-981-7200. Dr. Bransford, you're in town with a meeting with the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Yeah, no, I've been in town since earlier this week, and the AVMA, American Veterinary Medical Association, is the national association of veterinarians throughout the country. We've got over 86,000 members. So I was with a group meeting discussing some very relevant issues to veterinarians today, anything ranging from wellness to economics. But I know today we've got a different topic, Steve.
Yeah, we do. We're talking about something that you heard that I was doing. We were both in a meeting together.
Right, yeah.
And you said, did you know I personally had Lyme disease? Or is that the right way to even say it? Once you have Lyme, do you always have Lyme?
And that is one of the big controversies. And I'll tell you what happened to me. You know, there's this big controversy. Is there chronic Lyme? I think there is. And I've talked to a lot of people. And I've talked to a lot of professionals, both veterinarians and physicians alike. As I was telling you earlier, I'm really thankful that I'm a veterinarian because March of 2009, it's amazing how vividly I remember it, but I wasn't feeling so well, and I thought I was just stressed from work, and it was busy, and I was kind of achy, and a few days later, I got one of those bullseyes on my leg.
Explain what that is for people
that's,
who might.
Well, that's the technical name is erythema migrans, and it's a big circle, often has a rash in the center of it. It's red. Not everyone gets it. That's the important thing to remember is that people that may be infected with Lyme, you don't always get it. Not everyone gets it. But that's where the Borrelia organism has migrated from the tick bite. So the tick bite sort of serves as the center point of that rash. But again, it's round, bullseye-shaped, called erythema migrans. I saw that on my leg and went, holy moly, that is a Lyme pathognomonic, which is a fancy way of saying that means it's Lyme disease.
Holy moly.
I know. I was trying to make sure I did anything different because that's how I felt at the time. So I immediately, this was a Sunday, I immediately called my my veterinarian, my doctor, Monday morning, went in. I was running a fever. And she took a look at it, and she wasn't quite convinced. And I was like, this is a bullseye, and I really believe this is Lyme disease. So I had to kind of convince her. And as we know, one of the areas that's really a problem, which we don't really have on the veterinary side, on the human side, diagnostics are really, really tricky. And the human side is still working on that. There's a group at Stanford called the Stanford University called the Lyme Disease Working Group, and they are working on finding better ways to diagnose Lyme. One of the things is there's so many strains of Lyme. The one that we know is Borrelia burgdorferi is the common one, but there's about 13 different strains of Lyme out there. And so when we're testing, we may not be testing for the right ones. But when I was saying earlier, on the veterinary side, for all you folks that are dog owners, we have some really good tests to detect Lyme antibodies and know that Lyme is out there. So the long and the short of my situation was that I had to convince her to get antibiotics. I'm glad that I did. And one of the things that you know, Steve, is treating quickly, diagnosing as quickly as possible and treating as quickly as possible for both dogs and people makes
although,
the difference.
Although it turns out that treating quickly for a percent of people may not matter, which we'll talk about in a minute. So I want to back up a little bit. So I thought of this idea that put simply, if your dog has been diagnosed, and as you mentioned, it's really easy. It's a simple test in veterinary medicine. And what's interesting to me, someone was talking about this yesterday with me. So I was at the Ovarian Cancer Symptom Awareness event at Integrative Pet Care. And they get the idea that this is all about One Health. In that case, about ovarian cancer. And they have dogs now that they're training to actually successfully identify ovarian cancer in people. And they're understanding that we share the same environment. And one of the veterinarians at this event that I was honored to speak at said, you know, we call it the heartworm test. And I've talked about this too. And we really shouldn't be calling it that because it's the heartworm test, yes. And it's important, yes. But that's only part of this one test. Explain what I'm talking about.
Well, so there's a test that and this is the one that I use at my practice in California, Northern California, and it tests for four things. And it tests for heartworm, which, you know, we have, you know, here in California, we have here, but it also tests for three other tick-borne diseases, which are very important in Northern California, I would imagine here. It tests for Lyme. We all know about Lyme. It also tests for another tick-borne disease called anaplasma. And it also tests for a third disease called Ehrlichia. And for a lot of you folks out there, you probably know that that little nasty black-legged deer tick, which we have in California as well, carries Lyme and carries anaplasma. And Steve, I know you've talked about this before, that one of the dangers is that you can get co-infected. My doctor basically called ticks sewers with mouths, which I think is pretty accurate. They carry a lot of stuff. So co-infection is a big problem because I think maybe that's one of many things that leads to some people not getting fully, you know,
well,
treated.
Well, it's co-infection and also reinfection as well.
Yeah.
So you could be bitten by the Lyme bug, so to speak, a tick that shares Lyme disease with you, and be okay because some people are asymptomatic. But then it happens again. And maybe the second time you're even lucky still, and it's asymptomatic. And then the third time, maybe not so lucky. you know, and sometimes, yeah, pathogens are shared. 16 minutes before 7 o'clock, 312-981-7200. We have some telephone calls coming in, some texts coming in I want to read as well. And I want to talk about what we can do to protect our dogs and ourselves. We touched on that a little bit, but we're going to talk more about that. Right now, I want to make the official call. Are you ready, Dr. Bransford?
I think so.
I wouldn't be. Calling all canines. It's summer. And you know what that means? Have you taken one of the cruises out on Lake Michigan? You know, the architecture cruises? It's because you used to live here, right? A long time ago.
No, I've been here many, many times. Yeah. I haven't lived here, but boy, I've been here enough times that sometimes I feel like I have. And that is where I have fallen down on that. And I need to go. Everyone says you haven't lived until you've been an architectural tour.
That's true. But the one with dogs is the one you want to go on. Yeah, you could be the official veterinarian of that cruise.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yes. True story. I was picking up a friend of mine, and the friend of mine in the car went sniffing. And I said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm looking for the fresh wave smell. Well, you don't smell it. That's the whole idea. That's the thing. But I've been correlated with fresh wave to that extent. Dr. Grace Bransford is here. We are talking about this One Health campaign. We're going to give some websites. We're going to offer some resources for you. One is called Stop Lyme, which is the one that I created. Let's go to the telephones and I don't see your name. Lisa, you are on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. I know you've been on my website, Illinois Bird Dog Rescue, and I know you see that we promote better testing for the pet dogs and cats. But we have to talk about better testing than a 4DX SNAP test, because I'm finding that test continually not reliable for testing in our pets.
Well, Dr. Bransford can explain. I mean, the test doesn't diagnose Lyme, but I believe it says, okay, there's a possibility.
Yeah, there's a possibility. You know, there's antibodies that it picks up. And I'd love to hear more about.
You said yourself there's several strains of Borrelia. I've had Lyme disease for 18 years. Oh. I am chronic Lyme.
We base
our testing on our pets from human testing. So instead of doing the Lyme quant testing, which is maybe only 50% reliable, we do the IFA testing, which catches, it doesn't just catch low titers for disease, but it also cross reacts with other disease.
Right.
So we're picking up Ehrlichia, Lyme, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is the most common co-infection we're finding, and it's not even tested in a 4DX SNAP.
Where are you that you're finding Rocky Mountain spotted fever?
Every pet we bring in, we're nearly 100%.
Where are these pets?
They're coming in from all over the country. I rescue dogs from coast to coast.
So this brings up a lot of good points. Thank you very, very much for the call. I appreciate it. And I wish you well, you know, because there are so many doctors out there that would say chronic Lyme, that doesn't even exist. And, you know, every time I say that on the radio, Dr. Bransford, I get all these calls. Well, I've got that. And I've had that for years, and you can call it what you want, but I haven't felt well. And in some cases, people have been debilitated for a very long time. One of the points is that it's complicated, and we don't know enough about all of this. And testing does need to get better.
Yeah. No, in fact, I'd mentioned earlier, I'm from California. Stanford University recognizes chronic Lyme. Right now, I know they're recruiting for a clinical trial with people that feel they have this, and they are going to look at running some different diagnostics, something that they're working on. This is a 17-physician group. It's interdisciplinary. They've got cardiologists, neurologists, rheumatologists, psychiatrists, a big group of people that are working on this very issue. And so I can say Stanford University recognizes chronic Lyme. The other thing that, just being from California, we'll plug this. There's a really great documentary film. It's won numerous awards across the country. It's called Under Our Skin, and it's about people with chronic Lyme. Many of you people may know individuals. There are celebrities that have had chronic Lyme. Amy Tan. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates has had chronic Lyme. But this movie is done by Open Eye Pictures, and you can find the trailer online. under that, but it talks about chronic Lyme. So yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like us to talk about chronic Lyme, but I believe it's out there, and I believe to the best of my ability, there was a time when I had a reoccurrence of symptoms about 18 months after I was first diagnosed, and I've talked to other individuals, dog owners and cat owners through my practice who have had been exposed to Lyme and have said, yeah, I went through this stressful period. Maybe their immune system got suppressed and I didn't feel so good. And I had some of those symptoms I had before when I was diagnosed with Lyme.
So I know you're not a human doctor, but I did talk to one. And the podcast is available at WGNplus.com. Or you can go to my website, stevedale.tv. There's a tab toward the right. It says Programs. And then click down. It's a drop-down box. And one is called Stop Lyme. And it has lots of references and resources listed there. What can we do to prevent? You know, it's all about prevention, right? If you don't get sick in the first place, that's a good thing. So I want to talk about prevention in dogs and prevention in people. Can you offer some tips?
Oh, definitely. So there's some really good tick preventatives out there now for dogs, and
including some new technology.
Yeah, definitely some new technology. So definitely see your veterinarian about that, because there's an array of products that are very new and very effective. But there's nothing like sometimes just doing the simple thing. And as you probably all know, you can get ticks from wooded areas, tall grasses, the little nymph ticks, which is, I believe, what infected me, those things that are the size of a poppy seed.
And they're hard to find on a dog.
I'm a veterinarian. You'd think I would have seen the thing, but it was probably really small. And that's what my physician said. They love leaf litter, that leaf litter that is on the ground. So after you've been on those kinds of walks, for one, check your dog really carefully. They like, just in some of these areas for yourself, is ticks like it warm. They like it kind of a little moist sometimes. So they like places where there's a lot of blood flow. So they like to be around the dog's ears, sometimes the dog's armpits, sometimes on the inside of a leg. But really look all over, because they can just kind of go all over. We have a little what we call party trick at our practice, where we advise people to get those lint rollers that you use on your clothes that are those sticky tape, and run that lint roller along with parting your dog's fur and looking. Run that lint roller all over your dog, especially those areas we mentioned, and sometimes you'll pick up those ticks that haven't embedded yet. So those are good ways, along with using the tick preventatives that you can get from your veterinarian.
Yeah, one of the new products is called Brevecto, but there are lots of good products out there. And the key is what you just said, and that's talking to your veterinarian and not going to the big box store and saying, okay, here's a product that'll work for me, because it may not.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one of the things that we're seeing in the veterinary community is they're over time to anything, there's resistance. Bacteria gets resistance. Ticks get resistant. Cancer cells get resistance to products they're seeing. Treatments they're seeing over and over and over. So sometimes we've seen sometimes some efficacy get reduced on some of the products that have been out there longer, but they can get reformulated and do. Very effective use of the newer products and been surprised, and the pet owners have been surprised, like, wow, this works really good.
And your veterinarian will know. Also, there's for Lyme specifically, I think we could do is I have been talking to you about a better job of protecting our pets than we can ourselves. There's a vaccine also for Lyme for dogs. Not the case for us.
Yeah, no, we sadly don't have that vaccine that had been on the market and pulled. But the Lyme vaccine, there are, for a while there, people were worried about it, but I think there's been newer formulations. It's very effective. I personally encourage people in our area where there is Lyme to get their dog vaccinated, especially if they're outdoors and hiking and doing all kinds of things like that. And so I have not personally seen in my practice any side effects from the vaccine, not to say that there's the side effect of just about anything, but it is a good vaccine. And I think it's a cleaner vaccine. And so we do encourage people to vaccinate their dogs in Northern California.
We don't have time to take the call, but I'll ask you the question quickly, real quickly, because we're tight on time. Can cats get Lyme disease?
That's an interesting question. We have not tested cats. Cats, if they do, because we've seen ticks on cats. So yeah, why don't those same ticks that deer tick cause Lyme in cats? They may have some kind of a resistance. There are some people that are looking into that. So I have yet to treat a cat for Lyme disease. I've certainly treated dogs for Lyme disease.
But they do get other tick diseases.
Yes, they
particularly
do.
One that can kill quickly cats called cytozoonosis. Pets are an important part of your family, so when they get sick, you want the best care for them. MedVet Chicago provides state-of-the-art care when your pet needs it the most. Your veterinarian's trusted partner, MedVet Chicago, at 3123 North Clybourne. They're open 24/7. That's the whole point. In addition to emergency care, there's advanced medicine with board-certified veterinarians in 9 specialties. See chicagopetemergency.com or call them at 773-281-7110. 773-281-7110. Dr. Bransford, thank you so much. I'm glad you're feeling good.
Oh, yeah, I am too.
StopLyme.com.
Yeah.
For more.
Definitely. For tick prevention and learning about tick disease, Lyme disease for both dogs and people, because we both get Lyme.